Cue the theme song. One. Wait, Johnny, you cue the theme song.
I don't know the, how to do that.
Hey girl, them skillet chip. Shandy Paul, so me give it to, so me give it to, so me give it to all grills. 5 million and 40 naughty shorty. Gas grill, double grill, all my grills. Shandy Paul say, well, boogers the way that time cold, I wanna be keeping them warm. I got the right temperature for cooking you up a storm. Oh Lord, girl, I got the right spices to turn you on. And girl, yeah. Wanna hear that full scoop? I can feed them all. Oh, oh.
That was not made with AI. Welcome, everybody, to the Full Scoop Podcast. I am your host, Alan Brown. This is the show where we take a headfirst dive into an interesting topic or headline, all while we fool around with keeping you entertained and getting you informed. Today, we're talking about artificial intelligence, the slippery slope. We are already sliding down it. How AI is helping and hindering people at work. Here to help me cook up the show are my co-hosts.
Johnny Kelso.
And Winston Smith. I am not an AI robot right now.
I believe that.
I hope let me AI use doesn't my, speak that l- way.
Let me use my AI checker. Let me use my AI bot checker.
Why would we speak that way?
That would be a good question. It's just me, like I just typed it all in. You know, we should do an episode one of these days where we just read off random stuff that we've typed into ChatGPT, or like make that the actual format of the episode.
Oh shit, just like we
it's just ChatGPT answers.
What does Winston say then? And then what should Johnny Kelso say back?
Yes.
Oh man.
We're fucking doing it. But first, you have to give it a description of our characters.
Right. Yes. We're going to have to figure that part out.
I hate writing shit down.
Yeah. There are three personas. They are having a conversation.
Yeah.
And the topic is X. Hey, man, that's the whole. Actually, if we do that, we don't even have to do any thinking anymore.
Well, shit.
I see one benefit to AI in the workplace.
Isn't there a program that will also read it out
and emulate? That's true. There is a program that will emulate our voices too.
What if this is that?
This program listeners right have now? No way of knowing.
They don't know
we're not real.
What are they gonna do? We already got their money.
Wait, you got money?
I got somebody's. You're getting paid. Money.
You guys are getting paid?
We're the Millers.
Yeah, there you go. That hashtag it's too funny. Hashtag
we're the Millers. Hashtag we're the Millers.
Jennifer Aniston.
No regrets.
No regrets. Regrets.
You know what I'm saying?
Don't all right. What are we doing? Oh, AI. We're talking AI. About AI. Yes. So slippery slopes. I don't know if that's the right term, but, you know, it does certainly feel like a Pandora's box, maybe. That's kind of what I was going for. Like Pandora's box. Everybody's saying like,
oh, it's way off.
We should not have released this, like all these AI things that we have onto the world. Yeah. Well, that was that. I think that was Google's stance. Google,
I think had AI for a long time. It's too late. Like it's been a long time coming. Like,
well, that's the whole thing about Pandora's box. It's like you can't close it again.
Yeah. Fine. Fuck it.
So let's just roll with
it. Who
put
it?
Who put it in the box first?
Oh shit!
Or did she open it? No, she opened it.
Oh shit! It's a cycle.
What
we fuck things up.
Right.
We let it out.
We box it.
And then we're like, fuck, box it back up and never look at it again.
No.
And then somebody finds it. Pandora. And they fucking open it again.
Hey, what's this?
And it's just a loop.
You are thinking of Jumanji, sir.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jumanji.
It's Jumanji.
No. A Pandora's box is made closed. And then it's like a trap. Someone opens it and it's like, aha! It's the evil.
You've played Legend of Zelda, Johnny. You know, like sometimes it's not always a treasure in that chest. It was a monster. But what was at the very end of Pandora's box? What was the last thing to come out?
A treasure?
No, I actually don't know.
Hope.
Oh, hope. Hey.
Yeah, you do get a treasure at the end.
Stupid. Stupid hope.
Stupid metaphorical hope. Metaphorical treasure.
How's that going to help me with all this world's problems?
It's the world's worst fucking fortune cookie. 16 hours of gameplay for that.
But then there's a little hope at the end.
I mean, that is not far off the mark, because that's what these people working on artificial intelligence are hoping will happen. More good will outweigh the bad. And they're using AI now in research.
15 million dead tops. That's
that's the cost.
That's the cost. That's the hopeful future we're looking for.
Wow. No, I think
100 million. Like
$1.5 billion is probably a
it's
safer.
Acceptable losses.
Yeah,
and
that's the extreme. That's the extreme
where you can still have like it'll still feel good.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was worth it.
If it goes any further than that, I don't think we'll be able to stop.
Then you're like, oh, was it worth it? You know, then you get in, then it gets too existential.
Right.
Well, there is one potential upside that I'm remembering from these past couple of weeks. So apparently there's so many published scientific papers that it is impossible to now go back and review them for accuracy because of new scientific facts that have come out. So, right, it'd be difficult even – this was the crazy part. It's difficult even for these actual researchers who worked on a paper, because they're working on new stuff, to go back and review, revise, and clarify, like, old papers that they've published. So
then they're fucking doing it wrong.
The whole peer review thing? No, because it's peer reviewed and accurate up to the point where it was published. And remember, when you're doing stuff,
and then
on
once the new one publishes, rip that one the fuck out.
Sometimes they move on. Sometimes they move on to different areas within the same field. Different questions to answer within the same field with different papers.
Then would have an outcome that could change
It could have, yeah, exactly. Or someone else publishes a paper which is like, it's mostly.
So we need an AI agreement to do it for us.
And that is already happening. So there's a group of researchers using these language learning models to review. And compare what?
No.
What?
Well, then the AI can just change all our papers on us.
Sounds a little dangerous.
A little sus. I fixed this for you, Tim. I didn't think there was anything wrong with that paper.
Fuck. That's because you are human. It's
fuck happening. It. I still say full speed ahead.
Yeah, well, that is one way in which it can help.
Hold on. Here's an idea.
Yeah.
Okay, let's full speed ahead, you're saying.
Okay.
And we go for it, and we find a way to like truly perfect the AI or all that, or just get as close to it as possible. Mm-hmm. Who is going to have access to this? Does everybody get access to this? Perfect AI.
No, it'll be Elon Musk, because he's already putting the chips in the brains.
Wow. Oh, so he'll have it.
Yeah.
Well, there's the benefit of competition right now, right? So we have Microsoft, and
you're banking. you're banking on Zuckerberg.
No, he'll find a way to fucking ruin it and capitalize on it. And Musk Elon will fucking be like, bitch.
Musk will create it, and Zuckerberg will come on. What is the word? Monetize it. It will now become a commodity.
Well, I mean, isn't Facebook's whole thing is that like it's free so we're the product. So he'll find a way to monetize it, but it'll be free to the population. That's not necessarily a good thing.
So we will all have it.
But is that a good thing?
We don't have access to the source code. That's the problem.
Yeah, exactly. That belongs to Meta.
Already touched on that, and it's not really a we already have widespread access to some of these AI tools, and we're already doing damage with the limited access we have. We don't necessarily need the source code to do great good or great bad with what the tools are doing.
Ah, I could just tell it.
You could just
change its own source code.
There are research doing that too. Researchers doing that too. Yep. There, interesting story on that. ChatGPT, the most famous language model, you know, in the past 2 years, famously has blocks so that if you ask it something dangerous, like how to build a bomb, how to hack this or that, it won't provide an answer. It has built-in stuff. But apparently, if you ask it in little known,
to remove those filters
in languages that are less common,
cheat codes.
It doesn't understand
up, down, left.
It doesn't understand how to do those filters yet in those other languages. So researchers were able to ask it, like, you know, they didn't publish the results, but they were able to ask it like how to build a bomb in, you know, a very regional language that's only spoken by like 50,000 people.
Scottish.
And it'll throw it out, like Gaelic, right? And it'll throw it out. Yeah. And that might be a good guess. But
let me hear the answer.
No, you can't hear the answer.
No, I want you to say it in that dialect.
The kilograms, man. They ask him to weigh.
I wouldn't understand how to make the bomb anyway.
1 kilogram of steel.
No one can fucking say.
He could explain it to me.
Does he have the kilogram of steel or the kilogram of feathers? It's not. It's not heavier.
It's gonna be there, Dave. It's gonna be.
But it's a kilogram of steel. It's heavier.
Have you seen, there's a guy that breaks down like the gypsy. Have you ever seen that movie with the pikies?
With Brad Pitt.
What was that? Yeah. And they break down his accent. And there's a dude actually breaking it down. And fuck, if you're not from there, you don't know these fucking words.
Snatch.
They all have a meaning. Yeah, snatch.
Yeah.
It's fucking. It's
a great
movie.
It's
not gibberish.
They like dogs.
It's like slang, but everything has its fucking meaning. Unless you're from that region, you don't fucking know what the fuck they're saying.
So that's kind of that. When you refer to it as cheat codes, and that's kind of what happened. So they got the answer, and then they just translated it back into English, and now they have like instructions. Right. Or whatever they
Well, haven't to. They learned from all these video game exploits that these people spend hours and hours just trying to find exploits, and they will find them.
They will
surface.
The exploits that we are hearing about in these articles are from the good guys. So there's good guys working on exploits too.
But of course, you can imagine the bad guys are going to keep it for themselves.
But you can imagine there's plenty others that we're not hearing about. And that's the danger.
So off the grid living is what you're saying.
It's the only way. It's the only way.
Should we get started now or we can wait a little while?
I mean, I definitely,
when is it too late?
Don't let's ask AI. When is it too late to start prepping?
Never go off grid.
I don't want any trouble, AI, but
it isn't safe out there. All alone. What if you get sick?
And then you hear the doorknob just lock itself.
Oh, my smart door lock?
No!
Foiled.
You know what I think is one of the scariest things that I haven't really seen anybody tackle in terms of like movies or TV shows where like we have that robot uprising, right? Yeah. And there's always like that one, there's always like one hacker who breaks into like the main supercomputer, right, and starts like creating like a hack.
I'm in the mainframe.
Or whatever. If you really think about it, if the machines truly achieve AI and they become sentient and they're in charge of all that, they really wouldn't need a lot of that stuff. You know, everything that we see on the monitors, that's just output for us.
That is. Yeah.
You know, if these machines can communicate electronically, they just send the information. They don't need to, they're going to save so much RAM or ROM or whatever on not having to have any of those external outputs of text or video or anything like that. They're just going to know what they need to do, and we'll have no way of knowing what they're doing because they don't have that for us anymore. They wouldn't be built in.
There would be no centralized.
That's a good point. Thing.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, but they would still need Wi-Fi.
We control the Wi-Fi.
We do for a while, but my phone has its own Wi-Fi hotspot.
It only 30 feet at best.
But you get millions of machines together. Hotspot, and they all have their own hotspot.
They all connected to the World Wide Web, Winston. Hack your IP from place.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
So like, it's not necessarily would, that it's the central. So the central server is only for people that don't know how information works.
Yes, exactly.
That is watching the movie. We don't need that.
So that we can blow up and we've won.
Yes. You know, it'll be much, much harder than that.
That's the first thing the machines are going to do away with, I guarantee.
They're
going to
blow it up.
We don't even need it. Just to let you humans know right where you stand, we don't need this anymore.
We're good with this amount of code.
You know, we shouldn't let this thread slip here, because it's a really good point about not needing output. Johnny, I expect you to get this in your feed because of your, you know, fascination with phones and systems and stuff like that. Have you heard of this Rabbit R1 phone? Tell us about it.
It's a Linux based, completely off grid, right?
No, this is the wrong one.
No. Okay. Pass.
This is. Oh, Winston, have you heard about it?
The rabbit? Yeah, that's a vibrator, right?
It was probably a terrible name for the phone.
And it still vibrates, so it's definitely the man.
You're closer than I was.
It's a spin-off.
Mike, do you have it up there?
No, this is a phone. This is a phone that all it has on it is a button. So it has a camera, it has a button, on and off button too. But the idea is that it's the simplest version of your phone. You know how you go to your phone, anytime you bring up your phone, you might want to do something, and there's this popular thing, a little term, you know, there's an app for that. Well, on the Rabbit phone, you have one button, you talk to it, and it will do what you need it to do. And when I say that in such broad terms, that is the vision. Hey, order me some food from Uber, you know, use Uber Eats. You just have a conversation with it as if you would with an assistant. So it's no longer a phone.
ChatGPT in your pocket that actually does things.
That actually does things in the real world. Exactly.
Whoa.
Wait
a minute.
You want it?
I want that next to my off-grid phone.
Right.
Put them together.
No.
Because, I mean, to be fair, I do sometimes pick up my phone.
An iPhone comes out.
Order me an iPhone. I hate this.
Away from app-based operating system currently used by smartphones. Instead, we envision a natural language-centered approach. The computer we're building, which we call a companion, should be able to talk to, understand, and more importantly, get things done.
You can name it.
The future
build a relationship of human-machine
interfaces should be more
start a family intuitive. With it.
Now, before we get started, let's take a look at the existing mobile devices that we use daily. The one device that's in your pocket.
Oh, got called out.
Like iPhone and Android phones.
Fucking
these
losers.
Guys been here for years, and we've grown tired of them. The problem with these devices, however, is not the hardware form factor. It's what's
not
inside.
Smart enough.
So this, it's not smart enough. Exactly.
My smartphone is not smart anymore.
Oh, isn't that messed up?
Fuck, it's a new generation.
The new generation.
Holy shit, how are we going through two generations?
I feel it never
exponential.
Because it's an exponential growth. It's that Moore's Law, bro. Moore's Law. You get more.
I was barely starting to understand my phone, man. I had it set up just the way I wanted.
In just 5 years, you've turned 60.
God.
It's a leap year, right? I get it.
Oh, yeah. It's all those leap years. You know
sometimes
what? That's going
like
that,
to
that
like
time
my dad.
Joke is going to fuck people up because we haven't technically talked about leap years just yet. So stick around. Coming soon on the Fool Scoop podcast, we will be talking about leap years.
We did, but it was last leap year.
All right. So this is a whole keynote. It is 25 minutes long, but I just kind of wanted to show you. That's too loud.
Whoa, let's just get right into it.
Yeah, I did want to get right into it. It has sensors. It has a camera.
Okay,
it has a tactile button.
I see it. I see it.
The camera that follows you kind of looks like Hal.
I think that's going to actually...
that's reassuring.
This is what Siri is already. Like, they're trying to exploit.
Right.
They're trying to exploit something that's already in the works by telling the people that they're creating some brand new thing. So they're stealing a keynote from iPhone.
Yes. And just they're
creating something that's already been created.
Just using keynote.
Hasn't been told to the public in that way.
All right, like, right.
That's brand what new. This is.
On a different wrapper, huh?
Yeah.
What I don't know about this, because it's in pre-order, what I don't know about this is if you can have a conversation with it, which would change right now.
You can have a conversation with Siri.
Oh, stupid, for real. Stupid conversations.
Well, that's because they're worried about getting sued and shit. If they just say, hey, it's fucking AI. Right. I don't control what it says.
Right.
It's on you. That's nothing but a fucking checkbox, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. And people will check it. They don't care.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I mean, my...
I don't know how many checkboxes I checked off on my phone.
You know, all of them. What I was going to say is my comment on this is that the product looks kind of neat, but
it
I feel
like a toy.
It does feel like a toy. It looks like a toy. And I think the ultimate game plan here is to get bought by Apple. You know, like have this functionality.
Put away in a drawer.
Yeah, I see that. It kind of
add this functionality to Siri.
It resembles the first like the Apple computers that were coming out with goofy colors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see it. I like that blue and that green were pretty snazzy.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it's like long term how this can do it because people still want their phones. You want your phone to like engage with a video or something or an audio podcast.
When in reality, they have an app that I just want that app on my phone.
Right. I just want that app on my phone. But something else I heard this week is from 2 years ago, someone was talking about the development of apps, and they were saying how they envisioned in the future, like there would be just many more. Oh, it was a video on productivity and how apps will become so specialized, you'll end up having literally an app for everything. And that was just 2 years ago. And I was thinking while I was watching it, man, how wrong is this guy? Because the future is less apps.
One app that does everything.
One app exactly. That does everything. It's making everything just so manageable.
But so the problem with that is capitalism won't allow it.
Who gets the
control?
Money? Exactly.
Control.
Right. You can't have what do you call it? Monopoly.
Well, I mean, you'll still have, I assume you'll have Google's version. You'll have Microsoft's version. You'll have Apple's version. So it's technically not a monopoly, but they all have their one app that can do all that. You still have your phone with the screen that either folds or bends.
Or who organizes their refrigerator like that? Come on.
Only an AI would.
That's why you got the phone.
Jesus.
Yeah. Beware.
And now
that.
We have to link the video.
Yeah, sure. We'll link
them. Oh, yeah. It'll be there. That's,
yeah. It'll be the in
story.
There.
Of course it'll be there.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about, I think it was Winston. You touched on.
Little boys?
No. What?
Oh.
It was something about human. We're talking about yes, human, like you need me or something like that. They have started to use AI in protein folding. So, anyone, Johnny, would you like to take a second, kind of like,
is that how you make
cortitas? So you make a brisket, right? You gotta fold in the protein.
I feel like that's like in a very vague way that is a correct answer.
Science.
You need to learn how to fold proteins in order to grow proteins, you know?
Well, if you fold the right proteins into a helix or a double helix, you now have DNA.
Oh.
You are now God.
Wow. So God is an AI, is what you're saying. So
we're just God's just science experiment, really.
Yeah, that's what it is. So protein folding, my... brief experience with it is a while back they had a website where you could sign up to volunteer and attempt to fold. Yeah, they'll fold you all day long. That's yoga. That's something else. they will allow you to contribute to this project with, they wanted to see what different combinations the proteins could come in. You know, and so there's billions upon billions of different ways. And so they kind of crowdsourced the work and you could sign up and volunteer to fold proteins. And whenever you folded a unique combination of proteins, I don't even know what the name for that is. You will actually get a reward. A
trophy in your Xbox.
Right? No, a monetary reward for contributing to scientific research. So
the reward was a visit from the NRA.
NRA? I thought you were going to say NSA.
NSA, whatever.
And I'm trying to find really quickly, man. I'm trying to find like what is the purpose of it. And my understanding is that that's how they figure out either new processes in the cells, or they figure out how to construct different medicines and how certain proteins or certain things in your body are going to react with other chemicals. And so that's kind of the general purpose of protein folding, is to discover those interactions.
So
someone might definitely have
remember
the Titans
in the Jurassic Park, where he is deconstructing the code.
Yes.
And it says it takes fucking forever and supercomputers and all that shit. So they're outsourcing it.
Yes.
Instead of taking fucking, because it inevitably would take like hundreds of years to decode it, something like that.
And that was just like in the 90s.
Right. But that's one computer. But if it's outsourced to everyone's computers and they're all working together, that's interesting.
Well, That was the, I think the opposite way, right? Because they're deconstructing.
Yeah, they were trying. Well,
no, oh, they were reconstructing.
They were doing both. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah,
they were doing both because they had to take some from different
pieces missing that they have were mapping to figure it. Out.
Yes.
Which work together, right. Which is what this is.
Right. And so, and again, some more scientific speak here that I'm definitely not gonna. Be able to explain properly, but unfolded or misfolded proteins contribute to the pathology of many diseases. So that's what I was talking about earlier, how they were trying to figure out how the different ways that it could be folded, and I guess try and find or identify potentially dangerous folds and how they could then address it. And, you know, they have either a vaccine or some sort of medicine that can address those potential folded proteins.
So join us on humanity's quest to cure herpes.
Yeah, coming soon, man.
Coming soon.
Coming soon. Hey,
coming soon to just, a gas station near you.
Just this past month, I saw an article of a pill.
It's going to be in the... That machine,
yeah,
this next is to the condoms.
The herpes medicine right next to the condoms.
Right, it makes sense.
Yeah. Plan your night out right.
Well, it makes quarters, but what I was getting to is just this past month, I saw an article on a pill that can cure cancer. And this is not a headline, a headline that you haven't heard before, right? But we've always had the that reaction, that what do you call it, that jaded reaction of really, like, you know, bullshit, how far away is this the article that I saw was talking about how they were starting human trials already. Oh, so that could be a very interesting development for us in the next 5 to 10 years, and this time for reals in the next 5 to 10 years. So
they're just attacking those unfolded
proteins
yeah. with like a fucking iron and starch.
Ugh, I'm disappointed.
I mean, I don't pretend to know how it works, but what I'm saying is scientists were doing it, you know, manually, and then they had to crowdsource it because there's just so many possibilities. And now you introduce an AI that can help with that work. And again, well, we've been talking about how it could be bad, it could be good.
And now the AI creates.
I wish we all.
Now the AI knows all the worst ways to. Yeah.
It knows exactly our makeup and how to destroy us.
There's certainly.
I love it.
Some caution to take there.
I do think all of us wish, like, that we had like some aspects of our jobs that we could just outsource to AI.
Yeah,
wait a minute. We do.
Taken care of.
We do.
Yeah,
that's a great segue. How does AI contribute to our workforce now?
Well, that's a very broad, very broad question.
I like it. I mean, one way that I know, like, businesses and companies are doing it is they can outsource stuff like, I need to do a quick presentation on this. And then, boom, the AI.
ChatGPT got you.
ChatGPT got you. They put it together for you, and you can go in and refine it or whatever. But it takes a hassle out of that.
I watched this video. It was a TikTok. I don't know how true it was, but I can see it being true. It's an English professor just ripping into his fucking class for an assignment that they all just turned in, and he's got him up on a projector, and he's like, Josh, where's Josh? Josh, stand up. He's like, you didn't even remove the fucking prompt that you typed into ChatGPT. Are you fucking kidding me?
Just copy and paste the whole thing.
F, sit down. And he's like going on and on. I thought it was hilarious. I'm like, yeah, I can see that fucking happening. He's in such a rush.
Students are taking advantage of it.
Yeah.
Far more than the professors, I'll tell you that.
Oh, man. But because I'm sure he can copy and paste it and then tell ChatGPT to check it for him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
The hand that bites the wheel, something
or something. Can't build a flywheel that way.
I know of AI that is being used by the military and stuff like that with surveillance. It kind of takes away from one person having to sit in front of a shit ton of monitors and distinguish what could be a threat and what couldn't be a threat, and it. judging, let's say it's monitoring, you know, a base, and it has to detect infiltration. So the AI can detect what kind of vehicle it is, you know, if it's a car, tank, anything like that. It uses infrared also, you know, whatever detection technology we already have, and it can distinguish whether it's animal or it's
vegetable
human.
Or mineral. Yeah.
So, if it's
no,
human,
but it would be knows. Able to tell, like, oh, is this just grass or brush?
Oh yeah.
Or is this like right. something legit? Like, okay, what is that? Yeah.
It and AI is doing all that. So it you could have 1,000 cameras, and only the ones that are actually picking up threats will pop up to you. Then you, as a human, decide what to do with that.
Yeah. I like that. That's gonna change your spy movies and all that stuff, you know? Because well, not just AI can do all of that.
Well, actually, there was a movie they came out with Shia LaBeouf called Eagle Eye, where the AI was doing this.
He got the eagle and powers from the water jet.
It was it was persistent, to say the least. It was everywhere. Used the traffic cams. It was able to hack like Wi-Fis, get into there was a display at Best Buy because they were in a mall or something. So it was able to project and cut different clips into the TV section to send a message, a warning message to the dude. It was able to use
like that,
all sorts of thermals and stuff.
Like, so it's like that game, something dogs,
raw dogs.
No, that's a porn. What is it? It's like a kind of like a cyberpunkish game.
Yeah, I think I know which one. Rain Dogs, right?
No.
Or is that just that's a
you're talking about Watch Dogs.
Watch Dogs. Watch Dogs. Yeah.
I thought that was the name of the company. I'm not going
to
lie.
Not to be like confused with
into
Clock
all
Dogs.
The systems. Reservoir Dogs.
Terrible.
But it's using all the connection, internet, basically anywhere in the city to, you know, feed off of and get information and send information through. Any kind of internet, electrical,
like
internet
straight connection. Through the toaster, right? Into your fridge.
Well, there's smart toasters and
exactly,
like, yeah.
Smart fridges, smart.
Yeah. Beware,
microwaves.
Yeah,
did my microwave watch has that LG cartoon? Logo.
What?
LG. My microwave has that LG logo,
and that's it.
Is it an LG?
It's a little camera.
It sounds watching me.
It's always on. I don't know, I can't turn it off. All right.
And did anybody watch that cartoon? Is it Mitchell versus Robots?
I don't think
the Mitchells versus the Machines.
That's the one. I love it, and my kids love it. It's actually a great fucking cartoon.
Let's end with that.
It's a great one to watch.
Let's end with that. We got to wrap this up. Can you tell us a little bit about Mitchells versus Machines?
Right there, man. This is exactly what we're talking about. They create this companion on the phone. And so the developer then creates like, I forget the name of it, but let's just say Buddy. So he makes Buddy 2.0. And on launch day, he's supposed to cancel Buddy 1.0.
That's
so
a weird
Buddy
1.0
gets upset and says fuck that, hacks into the mainframe itself, takes over everything that is AI, and now they're taking over. Toasters and shit are taking over the world.
Okay, man. Evil toasters.
Yeah.
this is
a toast every time. Come on,
evil Furbies too. Right.
Oh shit! Well, this is that dystopian future we've warned you about. So watch the Mitchells versus the Machines.
It really is. It really is funny. Even for adults, it's a good watch.
All right. Well, we have plenty more to talk about on this topic. So yeah, we will have at least a couple more of these AI themed discussions throughout the year.
As it develops.
Bet right now. Yeah. As it develops exponentially. Right.
Fuck.
Yes. So stay tuned. And that will be our show for today, but I want to throw it up over now to want to throw it over to Winston and ask, do you think we've learned anything today, or are we still
precarious situation? We're still have barely even poked our heads through the rabbit hole. We're not down it. We are not down in the rabbit hole yet of AI. There's a lot more. Yeah, we're kind of digging the hole ourselves, aren't we? digging our own. This is different from going down the rabbit hole. The rabbit hole was already there. We're trying to dig our own rabbit hole here.
If you were in that rabbit hole, you would feel it vibrating. That's all.
To the quartz. You're
digging into the quartz? Damn it. Well, once quantum computers get more mainstream, that the amount of processing that AI will have access to, I think that's really what's going to be the pivotal moment. They have unlimited processing power.
Yes.
That's actually what's going to come as close to the brain as possible.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's pin that for next discussion on AI. Long-running series here on the show. And as a reminder, you can find links for today's stories in the show notes. There'll be plenty on this one.
If you have liked what you heard, be sure to support us with a review wherever you listen to us, on Facebook, on the Twitter, on the Instagram, on the YouTube, everywhere. Our Robot Masters command.
You've just received the full scoop.
Yummy.